بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، سلام على المرسلين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وأنزله المقعد المقرب عندك. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة، صل على محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وارحم محمدا وآل محمد، كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت على آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته، كما صليت على آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته، كما باركت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته، كما صليت على آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته، كما باركت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته، كما صليت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم، وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء. وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته. وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار التحيات لله الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله التحيات لله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمدا رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are busy discussing the seerat, the life, the history, and the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The purpose of doing that is to know the history of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the efforts of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sacrifices of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that would inculcate in us the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our ultimate aim and objective is to love Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah is our creator, we are created by Allah. We came from Allah, we are going to return to Almighty Allah. We were created with love, we have to return with love to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned that your iman is not perfect until I am not more beloved to you than your father, your children, and all of mankind. The greatest love that we should have is the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that will lead us to a point where we suppress our passion, we suppress our desires, and we follow the Sharia in consideration of the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our series of discussing the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we just completed the battle of Badr, where the enemies of Islam, they suffered an embarrassing defeat, humiliating defeat, shock defeat. It was something they never ever expected. They came with a huge powerful army, and with a small number of 313 people, they were very badly defeated. They go back to Makkah Mukarrama. They were enraged and looking for ways where they would avenge the defeat of Badr. Many people campaigned to launch an attack on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba, and the Muslims in Medina Munawwara. Until once Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, at that time leading the non-Muslims, he gathered the people and he told to them, the caravan that came from Medina, the capital will be given to all the shareholders. But the profit, which was 50,000 dinars, 50,000 gold coins, that we will use it in our attack against the Muslims and in the war. They all agreed. And again, a huge army was prepared of 3,000 men. 3,000 camels, 200 horses, 700 out of the 3,000 people, they were in armors. And with such a huge, powerful army, they now came going towards Madinatul Munawwara. Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Chauhan Sahab, in his today's talk, he referred to an ayat of the Quran Kareem in which Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيَسُدُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Verily, those people that adopted kufr, they spend their wealth to block and protect the people from the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Huge amount of resources are spent in this. To ameliorate the religion of Islam from the face of the earth. To bring about division against amongst the Muslimin. But Allah says, فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرَةً. They would soon spend. They would think the millions and the billions and the trillions that they have spent, they would have achieved the objective and Islam would be wiped out from the face of the earth. But Allah says, ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرَةً. After spending all the resources, far from the aim and objective of ameliorating the noor of Islam from the face of the earth, this sacrifice that they have made will turn out to be a regret upon them. Islam will flourish even more. And we have seen this. Till now, in our lifetime, how many wars have taken place? All to wipe out the noor of Islam from the face of the earth. But as we see, there are more and more people entering the fold of Islam, and Islam is flourishing more than ever. So Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about how these people have come with an evil intention to wipe out Islam from the face of the earth. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was in Makkah al-Mukarramah. After the Battle of Badr, he had accepted Islam, but he kept his Islam as a secret in Makkah. So he sent a message to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the enemies, the kuffar of Makkah, are going towards Medina to launch an attack. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hearing this news, he sent two sahaba, Anas and Munis radiallahu anhuma, to go and investigate the matter. So they went and they observed the information was true, the information was correct. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the sahaba and consulted with them, what should we do? We have to defend. Where do we defend? Remain in Medina Munawwara and defend, or come out of Medina Munawwara and defend? The senior sahaba, they were of the opinion that they should remain in Medina to Munawwara, don't come out of Medina to Munawwara. This was also based from the past historical experiences, that when anybody attacked Medina and the people of Medina defended from Medina, they were always victorious and they overpowered. Young sahaba, it was their opinion, we should come out of Medina. They showed the zeal and the enthusiasm that everybody was talking about the victory of Badr, and it was their wish and desire that they should also participate in a war. Like how in Badr, the Badriyin Sahaba, they earned such a high, lofty position because of their participation in the war. What about us? There were many youth, Shabab, they had that eagerness to show the valor for the position of Islam. لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ الْعُلْيَا. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered that. He went in his room to put on his armor. Then the senior people told to the junior people, you people are giving an opinion against the will of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to stay in Medina and defend. You people are insisting to go out of Medina. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out from his room with his armor. And now the young sahaba told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we would go by your opinion to fight from Medina, not out of Medina. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, it does not behove a Nabi of Allah. It does not behove a Nabi of Allah whilst he has put on an armor now to remove his armor. And according to the plan, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to go out of Medina to Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to a place called Shaykhain. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then inspected the army. 1,000 sahaba inspected the army. And Imam Shafi rahmatullahi mentioned something unique. He says, there were about 17 young people under the age of 15 that presented themselves to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take part in a war. Because they were minors under the age of 15, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused them. But there was one very intelligent youngster. رافع ابن خدیج. He was not 15, he was lesser than 15, but he stood on his toes and made himself look tall, and he told to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I am an adult. He didn't say he's lesser than 15. He created the impression as though he's tall, adult enough to take part in a war. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam included him in the army. Now his friend was Samura ibn Jundub radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He told to his stepfather that I am being rejected in the army, whereas Rafi ibn Khadij and I are of the same age. If he was included, why am I rejected? Yet I'm more stronger, physically stronger. I can overpower Rafi ibn Khadij. If he has the right to take part in the war, why am I rejected? So the stepfather took the matter up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told that Samura says he can overpower Rafi. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, okay, have a wrestle. Both youngsters have a wrestle and let's see what happens. And it so happened, Samura ibn Jundub overpowered Rafi. Rafi already qualified to be in, because Samura ibn Jundub overpowered Rafi, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam included him in the army as well. Now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he comes to Uhud. And he positioned the army in such a way, Madina Munawwara was in front, and Uhud, many people say Uhud, correct pronunciation is Uhud, kept the Mount Uhud behind. So Medina was in front, the army was such a way that they are facing Medina in front and behind was Uhud. But there was a fear that the enemies could come through the mountain pass and attack from behind. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed 50 archers to stand on the mountain to guard that mountain pass, and appointed Hazrat Abdullah ibn Jubair Jabir radiallahu ta'ala to be the Amir on there, and gave one order: whatever happens, victory or defeat, never move away from that place. The war started, Allah gave victory to the Muslimin, and the Muslims started collecting the booty. The enemies, in the books of hadith, it is mentioned the way they fled from the war field, that the women were actually holding the lower garment, lifting it up and climbing up the mountain to flee from that place. So there was victory for the Muslims, initial victory, and they started collecting the booty. So Sahaba that were there on the mountain, guarding that mountain pass, they saw that other Sahaba collecting the booty, the war has come to an end, so we should also go and collect the booty. But the Amir told them, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam order is not to move away from here, we have to remain here. And others said, but the war has come to an end. Amir insisted that no, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam order is for us to remain here. So many of the Sahaba went down, thinking the war have come to an end, they went to collect the booty. That time Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, fighting on behalf of the kuffar of Makkah, he was not a Muslim at that time, he came from behind and he saw the mountain pass was empty. And he launched an attack. And that's when the whole war took another direction, and from victory, it turned out to be a defeat. It was an apparent defeat, but in this apparent defeat, there was a lot of wisdom and lots of things were uncovered for the Muslimin. Now, there were quite a few very interesting incidents that took place in the Battle of Uhud. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatamul Anbiya wal Rusul, the end of all prophets. But some ulama mention another very strange, unique point, thought-provoking point. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also Khatamul Mahbubiyyat. That means the world have never seen anyone who received so much of love and muhabbat like that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if prophethood has come to an end, that extreme love, expression of extreme love and muhabbat also ended by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody in the world got so much of muhabbat, expression of muhabbat as that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was exemplified in many instances in the Battle of Uhud. One such incident was of Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the Sahaba used to talk about the Battle of Uhud. That was the day of Talha. The Battle of Uhud, it was a day of Talha. Great amount of sacrifices he made for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, expressing his ardent love for Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is stated, whenever this enemies would throw spears, Talha radiallahu ta'ala would be around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In order to save and protect Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would put his hand out. And he would take the spears on his hand. There were approximately 30 to 40 spears that hit his hand, and his entire hand became lame. It is stated, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw the sacrifice of Talha, he mentioned, Awjaba Talha. Talha's sacrifice is such that Jannat has become wajib upon Talha. Jannat has become wajib upon Talha. On one instance, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again in the Battle of Uhud, when he saw Talha's sacrifice, he mentioned, if anybody want to see a shaheed who is a Jannati, a walking shaheed, one is a shaheed that has passed away, but you want to see a walking shaheed, a living shaheed in this world, then see Talha. This was the great efforts, great sacrifices of Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once the enemies were throwing the spear, Talha radiallahu ta'ala took his hands out and it cut his fingers, wounded his fingers. He took it as a martyr, he took it as a brave person. All he has said from his mouth, being hurt with the spears, he said, Hada husnun. This is good, because in the path of Allah, this sacrifice has happened. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to him something very unique and told him, Lo qulta bismillah la rafa'atka al malaika wa an-nas yanzuruna ilayk hatta taliju bika fi jawi as-sama. O Talha, you just told husn or hasan when the spears wounded you, but had you said bismillah, take the name of Allah when you were wounded, say bismillah, make the zikr of Allah, then the angels would have carried you while the people would have seen you, and the angel would have suspended you right in the center of the skies. You would be between the sky and the earth, and all the people would have seen you with the barakat of you merely saying this bismillah. That's the one sacrifice of Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which the ummah learned about how much love is been shown to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another great sahabi sacrifice, Hadha Qatada ibn Nu'man radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The enemies were throwing their spears at a random, and the target was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to be around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a great sacrifice, risking your own life. But Sahaba were prepared to risk their lives and spare the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Qatada ibn Nu'man radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was also in the forefront. It so happened one spear came and hit him, darted at him in his eyes. So his eye came out, the pupil of his eye came out, the spear hit in him, and he held that eye and he came up to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now because he made the sacrifice for the sake of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Qatada ibn Nu'man with the pupil in the eye in his hand, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself teared. Qatada ibn Nu'man said, O Prophet of Allah, if I go home like this, what's going to happen? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, you want, be patient, or you want, I will make dua, Allah will give you shifa and restore your eyesight. Say, O Prophet of Allah, I'm married, I love my wife so much, and if I'm going to go home like this, my wife will not be able to bear the sight, my sight, and how I look, and I fear that she may just lose me. She may just leave me. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, and took the pupil with his own eyes and placed it inside the socket. Mentioned that eye which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam put inside the socket of Qatada ibn Nu'man, that eye turned out to be more beautiful and more better than the eye on the other side. This was the sacrifices and the incident of Qatada ibn Nu'man. Another incident that took place, we all of us know, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu is Sayyid al-Shuhada. And he became Shaheed in the Battle of Uhud. The background of his incident, of his Shahadat, Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the slave of Jubair ibn Mut'ib. In the Battle of Badr, Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he killed Tu'aima, who was the uncle of Jubair radiallahu ta'ala, of Jubair. So Jubair told to Wahshi, I want you to avenge the death of my uncle. If you kill the murderer of my uncle Hamza, I will free you. So Wahshi was in the Battle of Uhud only for that reason, to get his freedom, nothing else. He found an opportunity and he attacked Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu became Shaheed. Years after that, after the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, when the people of Taif came to Madinatul Munawwara, among them in the delegation was Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now everybody knew how close Hamza radiallahu ta'ala was to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the murderer of Hamza is now in Medina. So somebody told to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Wahshi is here. He is the murderer of your uncle Hamza. But he had accepted Islam. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a very, very profound, thought-provoking statement. Something for us, you and I, especially in this era, knowing of the incident that are taking place in some part of the world, what is happening, this statement is an eye-opener and serve as a guideline for the entire ummah, especially in this time. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a statement, told Da'u, leave with Wahshi. فَلِ إِسْلَامِ رَجُلٍ وَاحِدْ أَحَبُّ مِنْ قَتْلِ أَلْفِ كَافِرٍ. Leave Wahshi. For one non-Muslim to accept Islam, is better than killing 1,000 kuffar. Knowing the incident that taking place in certain parts of the world, how cheap are the lives of the people. Leave aside non-Muslims being killed, even Muslims have been just innocently killed. And to take away the life of innocent people, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims, and whether they are, if they are not in the war field, they are not in combat, they are civilians, this is completely prohibited in Islam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has clearly mentioned it. And therefore, there is no place for extremism in Islam, and there is no place for unparalleled, unbalanced acts in Islam. Islam is a civilization. War is also a discipline. And for anybody to go beyond those disciplines, there is no place for that in Islam. Islam is a religion of tolerance. It's a religion that has discipline. And everything of Islam is paralleled with the greatest amount of discipline and civilization. And lastly, after the Battle of Uhud, when everything finished off, Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, leading the kuffar at that time, he called out, Afil Qawm Muhammad? Is Muhammad there? No answer came from the Muslims. Afil Qawm Ibn Abi Quhafa? Is the son of Abu Quhafa, Abu Bakr, there? No response. Afil Qawm Ibn al-Khattab? Is Umar Ibn al-Khattab there? No response. Abu Sufyan mentioned, لو كانوا حيًا أجابوا. If the people would have been alive, they would have responded. That means everybody is dead. We are victorious. Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned kasaba aduullah. He couldn't stand it. Kasaba aduullah. The enemy of Allah has spoken a lie, referring to Abu Sufyan at that time was a non-Muslim. So we all of us, we are alive. When Abu Sufyan heard this, now the statement that I want to mention to you is this. Making the zikr of Allah not only during victory, making the zikr of Allah even during defeat. And in favorable conditions, we remember Allah. Adverse conditions, we remember Allah. In darra, we remember Allah. In sarra, we also remember Almighty Allah. So, Abu Sufyan, he made a statement from there after he heard Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He mentioned, started praising the idols. U'lu hubal, u'lu hubal. May Hubal, name of idol, be elevated. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from behind the mountain told to Umar radiallahu anhu, since you started speaking, now you respond and say, Allahu Akbar. What Hubal be elevated? Allah is the greatest. Then Nabi Kareem said, then Abu Sufyan from that side, he replied, Lana al-Uzza wa la Uzza lakum. We've got Uzza on our side. Uzza is the name of an idol. We've got Uzza on our side. You people don't have Uzza. So Nabi Kareem told Umar, now you reply again. Lana al-Mawla wa la Mawla lakum. Lana al-Mawla wa la Mawla lakum. For us, we've got a Mawla. We've got Allah. He's our master. You got no master. We understand from this apparent defeat. But even at that time, making the zikr of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. One very profound lesson we learn in this battle of Uhud. The moment the Sahaba followed the directive of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was victory. The moment they went against what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told, it from victory turned into a defeat. This was by divine design, and this was to uncover many other things that would take place and for the Ummah to learn lessons from it. We learn a lesson. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. One is Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi being physically present. That is a means of waiting away the punishment of Allah. And second, Nabi Sallam not being physically present, but when the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is alive in our lives, that will attract the rahmat and the mercy of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in our lives. And the moment the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is gone out of our lives, then we will be deprived of the rahmat and the mercy of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah grant all of us tawfiq and hidayat, inculcate the true love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our hearts.